So here we are. It's another episode of season three of the Environment Agency Abu Dhabi podcast, Naturally Educated. I'm your host, Tim Elliott, and as ever this season, Abdulrahman Al-Zabi is here too. Abdulrahman, how's everything with you, my friend?
It's been great, Tim. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to today's episode. It's something we often discuss here on Naturally Educated, and our guest today is just back from the annual mangrove survey. It's a great opportunity first to talk about some more about one of nature's best weapons that helps to combat climate change.
Well, you're exactly right. And our guest today is literally back from the field, mm-hmm. and we'll hear from her shortly. First of all, though, as ever, guys, we'd like you to make sure that you're following and getting in touch with us. So if you'd like to reach out, share your comments, or if you've got a story you want to share, do let us know what you think. You can find us on Facebook, on Instagram, LinkedIn at Environment Abu Dhabi, one word. You can also find us on our website or YouTube at Environment Agency Abu Dhabi. Give us a like and hit subscribe wherever you find or listen to your podcast. Now, today's episode, Abdulrahman, is all about mangroves. We've talked about mangroves a lot in this podcast, and it's always fascinating. Mm-hmm. Here's the title today: Mangroves on the Front Line, Their Critical Role in the Climate Crisis. And that's exactly what they do. They're fighting for the climate.
It sounds like it. They're the soldiers, you know, they're the ones that that protects everyone.
Go on. What have you learned in the last couple of seasons of Naturally Educated? What do you know about mangroves? How's your knowledge?
Frankly, thank you for putting me in the spot. But But, you know, mangroves to me become more and more important the more I learn about them, you know. In the beginning, when I first, you know, growing up here, we heard of the mangroves and we heard that they're some sort of a special tree, but we didn't know much about them. But then, you know, you talk about the importance that they played when it comes to, you know, construction, when it comes to ecosystem preservation, when it comes to sequestering carbon and, you know, flooding risk, you know, assistance and so on. It's just, it's kind of an all-encompassing solution for so many things.
Well, it is. I mean, the other side of it is as well for you. I know you're known as something of a tour guide in Abu Dhabi. Mm-hmm. I know you like to kayak at the weekends, and I know you've kind of weaved your way in and out of the mangroves, haven't you?
Absolutely, yes. You know, one of my favorite and most memorable, you know, memories or images of the mangroves is kayaking down the mangroves around sunset and seeing a fox that was just that appeared around some sort of a, you know, a couple of mangroves on the side there, and it was just fascinating. I've never seen them in person ever in the wild, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's moments like that that make it all worth it, isn't it? You know, and you're the only person there. Mm-hmm. The animal either isn't aware that you're there or doesn't feel any fear, and it's kind of, it's a very hard thing to describe, but you're kind of at one with the environment. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, here's another title that I thought of just now. You know, the Swiss has the Swiss Army knife.
Uh-huh.
Why don't we have the Emirati Army knife?
I like the idea.
There you go.
Yeah, I like
that's
the
title for the episode.
So, Abdulrahman, are you ready to talk more about mangroves?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Amna El-Mansouri is an assistant scientist, marine habitats, terrestrial and marine biodiversity at the Environment Agency in Abu Dhabi. She's also, and I want to ask about this too, a final year PhD student researching mangroves. And she's here. Amna, it's really good of you to join us.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here.
Now, look, we've spoken about mangroves at some length over the years on Naturally Educated. It's a topic that continues to fascinate. And once again, we'd like to get to the importance of mangroves and why they're so special for all of us. But let's start, if you don't mind, right at the beginning. For anybody that's thinking, what on earth is a mangrove? What on earth is a mangrove?
Well, that's frankly, a really important question. Before understanding how important they are, we have to know what they are. So mangroves are woody trees or shrubs that flourish at the sea-land interface or the intertidal zone along sheltered lagoons.
Well, that's interesting. That you know, is kind of somewhat of a general understanding of the mangroves, which are all over the UAE. So give us an idea of where we can find them. Where exactly in the UAE would you find mangroves?
Well, mangroves in the UAE are mainly situated along the inshore coastal area, and some are found on offshore islands within sheltered areas. So, for example, in Marawah Island. If we talk about the coverage of mangroves, Abu Dhabi Emirate hosts the largest extent, and the majority of the forest is situated along the eastern zone of the city.
That's the Mangrove National Park, right?
Yes, roughly starting from there and onto Ras Gharab Island and onwards.
Amna, what does a mangrove plant look like? Because I'm trying to visualize it or trying to get a description going in my head here. What does a mangrove forest look like?
So I'm going to give you guys a boring science class.
Please.
Since you asked me this question. An individual tree is termed a mangrove, while the forest is a manga or a mangrove forest. Now, if you can imagine, the mangroves are categorized into three basic forms, depending on shore morphology, sediments, and the salinity regime. And of course, the relative tidal flow. So basically, the first mangrove would be a riverine mangroves, and these are situated in areas like deltas, and you can see these in Asia, for example. They are situated where the low tide force is there, and the dominance of freshwater input is mostly there. The second would be the tide-dominated mangroves, and these are typically sometimes called fringing mangroves. These are fully intertidal forests and are subject to high wave action. And these are similar to the mangroves that we see here in the UAE. The last form are termed basin mangroves. They occur more on the landward area or towards the terrestrial side, where lower tidal currents and wave action occur. Now, many of the mangrove forests are recognized for their dense, complex root systems that make the tree appear to be standing on stilts above the water or kind of submerged under the sea. This tangle of roots allows the tree to handle daily rise and fall of tides, as well as, the mangroves as they get flooded twice per day. These species tolerate large, harsh environment that sometimes restrict their growth because most of them thrive in low oxygen soils and as well as, high saline coastal environments.
You mentioned there that the UAE has a specific type of mangroves that grows here, or manga, forgive me. Which one of them thrives the most? Is it that specific type, or are there others as well?
So the specific type that occurs in the UAE would be the tide-dominated mangroves. So they're more towards the seaward, towards the sea where there's a lot of tide coming in and out, rather than having them near the land area. So this is typically an area that's called the intertidal zone. Are normally sometimes confused between terrestrial plants and marine plants, but typically they form as tide-dominated or fringing mangroves, which means that they're on the edge of the sea.
Mm. You know, just as a follow-up to that question, if you don't mind, we know that there is an effort to, plant more and more mangroves. Would you say that when they plant them, do they specifically choose that specific zone, the intertidal zone? Is that a critical thing?
Yes, that's definitely it. I think when you plant mangroves, there's a huge emphasis on the site location. So definitely that area is the most suitable environment for mangroves.
Hmm. Amna, there's a historical perspective here as well, isn't there? The mangroves... If you consider the UAE, the history of the UAE, the seafaring heritage, the fishing heritage that the UAE has, mangroves form such an important part of that because they're such a familiar plant, I guess. But they've also been used historically for, I don't know, construction, for example. They're kind of intertwined with UAE history, really.
Yes, so... I think, Tim, many might not know this, but the plant that thrives here, which is Avicennia marina plant, mm-hmm. is named after a scientist, Ibn Sina, which has recognized the plant's importance in terms of medicine hundreds of years back. And this ethnomedicinal importance to local communities has been well known for years, and it was passed down to generations. So they used a lot of the leaves, the fruit, the bark, you name it, in terms of, you know, treatment and skin problems and digestive disorders. And this part of the world here, it was actually used also, but more commonly in this region, they were used a lot for food, for the livestock, such as, you know, for the camels and the gazelles that were known to eat the leaves of mangroves, and they're capable of digesting the salty leaves. Other uses for the wood was definitely used for construction. And when I mean construction, it was purely for the houses, for the roofs, for the ships, also the hull of the boat. So it was used in many ways.
That's incredible. I always bring this up because of my experience as a tour guide. If anyone visits Qasr al-Haslan in Abu Dhabi, you can actually see the roof of the building made out of mangrove wood, right? And, you know, the things that you brought up really speaks of the importance of the mangrove as a tree for not only the culture here in the UAE, but for also the environment, right? For the ecosystem. So can you speak about that? Can you share your perspective when it comes to the importance of the mangrove?
For sure. I think I won't stop talking if I talk about the importance of mangroves. They're incredibly important due to the numerous ecological and socio-economic benefits that they provide to biodiversity, to adjacent habitats, and to us humans. First of all, they are considered one of the most productive coastal habitats in the world because of their location near the coast, as I mentioned earlier, and their situation between land and sea basically makes them serve as a natural coastal defense. This is largely due because of their dense and complex root systems that help in buffering against high waves, storms, and erosion. With that, they help by protecting shorelines and shielding coastal communities. Mangroves are also highly efficient at sequestering carbon, and they also serve as a critical habitat. In terms of critical habitat, I mean for biodiversity, they provide shelter, feeding grounds, and nursery areas for a wide variety of marine and terrestrial organisms. In fact, many of the commercially important fish and shrimps, they depend on mangroves during their early stage or early life cycle. And other benefits, you know, include the connectivity across the seascape. So we kind of forget that mangroves are connected to many of the other habitats and the species. And so with that, they play a role in nutrient cycling, filtering excess nutrients from adjacent coastal waters. They also help improve the water quality. And with that, they use their roots to trap the sediments and the pollutants, for example, and they act as a natural filter for the marine environment.
Mangroves are, in a word, unbelievable, aren't they? I've read a lot, Amna, and heard a lot about how mangroves mitigate climate change, which seems like a stretch, but we've had this explained before. But here's the stat for you. Mangroves sequester, you mentioned that just now, 5 to 6 times more carbon than rainforests do. Can you explain what that means in simple terms? Because it's kind of a plant fighting climate change, isn't it, really?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're absolutely right with the statistics. Mangroves are highly efficient at capturing and storing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. And so this makes them an important carbon sink environment. And they're known as a carbon ecosystem, blue carbon ecosystems, for that particular role. Simply put, they use biological processes and photosynthesis to absorb that carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and store it in their leaves, their barks, their sediments. And this whole plant biomass, you know, over time accumulates. And you know that mangroves are situated in intertidal areas, as we mentioned. So this harsh environment, you know, makes the sediments very waterlogged or anaerobic, so it's very low in oxygen. And these conditions drastically slow down the decomposition process or the breakdown of organic material. And so the whole plant debris accumulates over time and remains underground in the soils for extended periods. And if you're out in mangroves, you see a lot of the sediment coloration differentiates once you see the first layer, the second layer. There's so much coloring in that, and so much smell that comes out from that soil because of the accumulated carbon that is trapped underground. So the rich organic soils are significant, and they are only significant once they are trapped for a very long period. And this is when climate change comes into play, because they help mitigate the carbon dioxide by reducing that greenhouse gas emissions.
Wow. This is frankly impressive and on so many different levels. Thank you for bringing, putting a light on shining a light on such a simple tree that is part of the culture, but similarly holds so much value and so much importance. One thing that maybe is not something we witness so much here in Abu Dhabi, but mangroves play an important, a key important role in fighting flood risk, basically, in coastal cities. So speak about that and in relation to Abu Dhabi. How is that relevant here?
I think with mangroves, because of their situation near the coast and in between that land and sea interface, they serve as that coastal defense. And in the UAE and almost in all the tropical and subtropical areas where mangroves grow, they have large and dense and complex root systems. And if you've been in the field, you've seen how stubborn they are in the sediments. And with that, they help to buffer against the high waves. So they help reduce the waves from coming into local communities and areas where people live near mangroves. They help shield that coastal community basically as a natural way because of their canopy, because of their huge trunks. And I believe without mangroves, the coastal area will be more susceptible to erosion, leading to a lot of the land loss and a lot of the habitat loss and affecting coastal communities nearby.
Amna, this is a plant that we need. I mean, aside from erosion, what threats are posed towards mangroves? Because increased urbanization, I would guess, is one thing as we reclaim land from the sea, changes in weather conditions, temperature. What kinds of effects can really have an adverse effect on a mangrove?
I mean, similar to many of the marine coastal habitats, they are under threat. And despite the benefits, that we already know very well about mangroves, their exploitation means that fewer forests remain pristine. And worldwide, they are under threat, and they have been reduced in a lot of the areas over the decades. And in the 20th century, studies have shown that 1-3% mangrove loss has been accumulated over time. And this is mainly due to the land use changes. And you've mentioned that exactly. And we see a lot of the clearing of mangroves or the change in environment for aquaculture, urban development, shrimp farms. A lot of the human expansion are moving towards the sea, and this leads to the destruction and eventually the fragmentation of these ecosystems. Now, in the UAE, frankly speaking, there's a lot of activities that go, nearby mangroves because of their situation near the coast. And one of the most major direct threat would be the deepening of channels. So this is dredging activities, land filling activities. And if these are really nearby mangrove areas, even if you physically don't remove the tree, over time, the sediment accumulation and the altered hydrodynamics can affect the root formation because they extend, the roots underground extend horizontally for hundreds of meters. And you might not see it by eye, but this can reduce the effect and impact the seedling survival. So the baby mangroves that are floating and trying to find an area to anchor and you know, stay in a sediment where it's quite shallow in water. Sometimes with the dredging, you know, they're kind of floating in deeper waters and find nowhere to anchor. So I think the majority of the alteration in water flow can disturb the whole environment. And there are other threats, of course. You know, we can't neglect climate change, global warming, particularly for mangroves, it's sea level rise.
Wow. I mean, you know, with the importance of mangroves that you've displayed earlier and the context of their importance for so many different aspects of our lives, it seems like we need to ensure a sustainable future for mangroves, right? It's noted that less than 50% of the world's mangrove forests were intact by the end of the 20th century, and half of those that remain are actually in poor condition, right? So obviously we need to be doing more. So why don't we tilt towards that? What can we do? How can we ensure that they are there in the future?
I think over time there's a positive story because, you know, in the 21st century, a lot of research in mangroves worldwide has indicated a reduction in the loss of mangroves. And this is mainly due to the advanced research that we have in mangrove science, as well as public awareness. I mean, a lot of people didn't know how important mangroves were years back. But now, if you ask anyone, they probably know. And even with the youth, they know a lot about this environment. And this comes to show you that, you know, the efforts that are being made globally and regionally here in the UAE, we address these threats. We help conserve these mangroves by, you know, establishing a lot of the marine protected areas, for example. We try to raise awareness in terms of capacity building with youth, try to take them out in the field, and you do this. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of our role to help the next generation to be more aware and to educate themselves about the importance of mangroves. Mm-hmm. And I think we're moving towards doing a better job than we did.
Absolutely. I mean, from also engaging the local population, I know some fishermen, for example, in Abu Dhabi that actively participate in planting mangroves. Also in the tourism sector, from my perspective, a lot of people go to kayak near the mangroves. And they, you know, firsthand see the importance of, you know, all of the animals or the small fishes and crabs that swim around the mangroves.
You're absolutely right, Abdurrahman. One of the things I kind of wanted to ask you, Amner, is when you take people out into the field, you take, I don't know, young people out into the field or school children out into the field, and they see the mangroves, what's it like when they kind of put the picture together, if you like?
Recently, I took a few of the university students, and I was actually very surprised, Tim, that they had so many questions about mangroves, and some of the questions I had to search for because they're so curious about the environment. And I think this is exactly how I felt when I first stepped into mangroves in the field. And, you know, working with the agency now, it's been 6 years, and with my PhD study, I've noticed that, you know, with the curiosity that comes in the field, I think you tend to get interested more on the environment itself. The whole system is a completely different system than any other habitat we have around.
It's a great thing to hear that people have questions. And I think we're kind of mirroring that in this podcast because I feel like I've got a million questions to ask you, Amner, and I feel like I don't have enough time. But one thing I really want to ask you, and you kind of mentioned it there, is your PhD that you're working on at the moment. Now, you're a final year PhD student. You're researching mangroves. It's clearly something that you have enormous passion for. You're backwards and forwards between the UAE and Newcastle University in the UK. How you understand people, I have to show you respect for that, because the Geordies have an accent that I have trouble following.
Absolutely.
Talk us through your PhD, where you are now, and what makes you so passionate about mangroves?
I think, you know, studying mangroves is quite easier than understanding the Geordie's accent. But I've decided to pursue my PhD research really on mangroves, specifically here in the UAE and particularly in Abu Dhabi Emirate, because the more I went into the field, the more I was curious about the whole ecosystem. And I noticed how extremely connected mangroves are to the seascape. And we tend to forget that mangroves never exist in isolation, right? But many perceive that. And, you know, being a nerd in marine science, mm-hmm. I started to investigate, you know, the importance of the ecological connectivity and the habitat-species relationship. And here in the UAE, if you can imagine a drone shot or a shot from a satellite imagery, you'll notice a lot of the patterns and a lot of the coastal habitats when it comes to mangroves, seagrass beds, rocky shorelines. They're all almost connected and they coexist with each other. It's inevitable not to have high connectivity and processes on a daily basis with the tides coming in and out. And so I decided to pursue a PhD that taps into this type of research. Mm. So I've spent 3 years and a half now. I'm more than halfway done, where I focused on the influence of habitat species interaction or the relationship between that. And specifically, I focused on marine fish within mangrove creeks. I chose these species because they eventually migrate offshore, and mangroves provide a nursery area for them. And I was really keen to try to highlight that kind of importance. And so I looked into the physical form of the forest and how that can influence, species that are moving in and out on a daily basis, and how they can support our local biodiversity. And I also worked on developing different systematic maps on the data sources or the knowledge that we have both regionally and globally in terms of that coastal characteristics and connectivity.
Amna, I have a trick question for you.
Go ahead.
What is your favorite fish that lives within a mangrove?
Well, you'd be surprised. One of the, findings that I found is that groupers were found, you know, under the roots of mangroves.
Wow.
Groupers, hamur.
Hamurs, yeah.
Yeah, so I was even surprised. You know, I love eating hamurs.
Of course.
And now I don't. So, yeah, I was surprised to see hamurs in mangroves. And that was, honestly, an amazing day for me to find that.
Well, there
research.
You go. I mean, I would say it's one of my favorites too. Although Chenad for me takes top one. Speaking of that, I mean, this just increasingly shows the importance of mangroves, right? I wonder if you tell us from your perspective, what is the Environment Agency in Abu Dhabi doing in the efforts to promote mangroves and so on? At least the things that you see are most relevant?
Yeah, of course. So I think mangroves are classified as one of the most critical marine habitats in Abu Dhabi. And their protection is at, I would say, the Emirates' top biodiversity priority, not just the agency. First of all, they're protected by federal law 23 and 24 since 1999. Mm. Our role at the Environment Agency and as Emirates as a whole, we continue the legacy of our founding father, the late Sheikh Zayed bin Sultan, Allah yarhamah, where his efforts of protecting and planting mangroves in lost areas are practices that we follow today. And with the Environment Agency, we undertake a lot of monitoring in different mangrove areas, and we try to restore any of the degraded areas that we find and try to ensure protection. And with these efforts, I think the Emirates, despite global loss, the Emirates has seen an increase countries in the area. And this is, you know, since the 1980s. Now, in addition to policies and regulations for the protection of mangroves, the Environment Agency also provides educational tools, awareness trainings, and workshops to influence positive behavior. And this, you know, is through the field trips that I mentioned earlier and through, you know, social media platforms.
Also, like tourist attractions, right? We have the Jubail, for example, Mangrove Park, where it's part of what you're experiencing. You're just walking around next to mangroves.
I think the role of the agency is try to connect people with nature, and I think it's starting to happen now, and I'm really thankful for that, because when you are immersed within that environment, you understand how important it is, and you try to protect it even as an individual yourself.
Amna, here's the question that we ask pretty much everybody on this podcast, and it's kind of two-pronged. What can we do to help, or what should we be doing to help? Or in other words, what should we not be doing?
I think the most important thing is to try to be aware, to try to educate yourself. If you don't know something, research about it, you know, share that knowledge once you have an idea of what that is. When you're out in the mangroves, if you're kayaking, you know, and you see some kind of trash, try to pick it up, try to avoid damaging the habitat or disturbing any kind of wildlife. You know, every small action counts. And, you know, by these small steps that you take, you're raising awareness with your family and friends, and you're raising awareness within yourself. So I think sharing that knowledge and engaging in, you know, activities that include planting, for example, include cleanups. So the Environment Agency hosts a lot of initiatives in that way, where a lot of the cleanups happen in mangrove areas, for example. So why not join and encourage others too?
So Amna, this has been widely insightful. So I appreciate you sharing with us your thoughts and your knowledge and your fruitful, it seems, PhD research. So to finish off this episode, let's tilt into, you know, today. Basically, I'm interested to know your perspective on two things specifically, both of which are integral to this year here in the UAE. The first, of course, is the year of sustainability, right? We all hear about the importance of the initiatives that happen within this year, but also COP28, the global spotlight is going to be put on the UAE. It's the UN Climate Change Conference. As we know, it runs from November 30th to December 12th of 2023 in Dubai. So basically, from your perspective, what does it mean for the UAE to be hosting such an international event like COP28? And in climate change terms, what do you see emerging from commitments that the UAE has made and is continuing to make to the future?
So hosting an international event like COP28 is a big deal for the UAE. I think it holds a significant implication and opportunities for the country. I think it provides the country to showcase its efforts and initiatives and achievements in addressing climate change issues and prompting sustainable development. And I think the most important thing would be, bringing everyone together in the same table, bringing different governments, stakeholders, and experts from around the world to negotiate and collaborate on climate-related policies and actions. Hosting COP28, not only does it offer that unique platform for the UAE, but also to engage in global climate diplomacy and contribute to shaping the future for international climate agendas. And we already witness a lot of different entities and a lot of different organizations that feel inspired and motivated for, you know, the ongoing climate action and that is happening within the country, and also to drive long-term efforts. And I think, in my opinion, it will present amazing opportunities for collaboration and for the progression of national and global efforts towards a more sustainable and resilient future.
Amna, you came in and said, oh, it's my first time, I've never done this before. I'm thinking, no, that's not possible.
I think passion comes into play, Tim. I mean, my supervisors always struggle with me. They go like, Amna, please, you're so passionate about this. You need to step back, explain to us, because you're being so technical here. And I'm like, but you're my supervisor. You're supposed to have all that experience. And I'm like, you're way ahead. You're just too... I'm like, because I'm immersed in this. I go out in the field. I understand this. I'm there on a daily basis. So I feel so connected to mangroves that sometimes I just need to step back and, you know, talk in plain English.
Fair.
Do you know what? The world needs more people like you, Amna, who have passion for something like this. It's so important. It's been really, really good to talk to you today. Thank you so much for coming on Naturally Educated.
Thank you, Amna.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
So that was Amna Al-Mansouri. She's an assistant scientist, marine habitats, terrestrial and marine biodiversity at the Environment Agency, Abu Dhabi. She's also a PhD student and more passionate about mangroves, I think, than anybody I've ever spoken to. Mm-hmm. She's researching mangroves, Abdurrahman, for her final thesis. What a character she is. Final thoughts on this podcast. Can you let everyone know where to find us, Abdurrahman?
Absolutely, guys. Please get in touch with us. Reach out with your comments or if you have a story to tell. We'd love to hear what you think about this episode or the series in general of Naturally Educated. You can find us, of course, find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Environment Abu Dhabi, one word. There's also our website, ead.gov.ae, or our YouTube channel at Environment Agency Abu Dhabi. It would be great of you if you give us a like and hit the subscribe button wherever you find or listen to your podcasts.
So from us here at Naturally Educated, a huge thanks for listening. I'm Tim Elliott.
And I'm Abdurrahman Zaabi.
Join us next time for more in this year of sustainability-themed Season 3 of Naturally Educated.
See you guys.